hopefully that happens here soon. He's there now, I understand. So we're moving our schedule around. Let me just do that there. Now, obviously, you cannot get away from the news talking about this new virus that's upon us, globally speaking, and the coronavirus, and it and its attachment, apparently, to bats, which I just found out recently. I was surprised. Nobody told me about that. And I, all of a sudden, I find out. And its attachments to bats, and that they apparently could be a carrier. So we thought we'd bring somebody on the program that can shed some light on that. His name is Dr. Scott Weiss, and he is with the Center for Public Health at the Ontario Veterinary College. Good morning. How are you, doctor?
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Thank you for joining us on this chilly morning. It's where are you, by the way? Where are we calling you
right now? I'm outside of Guelph. It's chilly here, too. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you're not in some balmy place in the Bahamas or something, you know?
No, not that lucky.
All right. Where there's an outbreak with an infectious virus, obviously your phone rings off the hook because that's what you are supposed to be looking after. I want to talk to you about this connection to bats and how the coronavirus seems to I read that it was connected to snakes, and then more recently, now it's being connected to bats. So first of all, shed some light on that for us, would you?
Yeah, well, we knew it was connected to wildlife, or you can assume it was connected to wildlife, and playing the odds from the start, I think most of us assumed it was going to be a bat. Bats are just great reservoirs for lots of viruses, and if we look at some of the previous viruses that are like this virus, other coronaviruses, coronavirus is a family of viruses that range from the common cold to SARS to this one. And if we look at SARS, it originated in bats and moved into some animals like civets and raccoon dogs and got into people. There's another one called Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome that started off in bats and went to camels, of all things, and they can be transmitted to people. So bats made the most sense. There was one paper that came out suggesting that snakes might have been the source, and that got debunked fairly quickly. And biologically, it doesn't make a lot of sense for a virus to go from a bat, which is a mammal, to a snake, which is a reptile, and then back to us, another mammal. So bats make sense in a lot of levels.
Okay, so if it's a bat, if that in fact is where it came from, how does it all of a sudden just appear? It's not like bats were just discovered, and it's not like humans just started interacting in areas where bats are. Why now? How does this just happen like that?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question for most infectious diseases, right? Why do they start? Why do we get new flu viruses? Because they're always out there. It's been estimated there's something like 1.5 or 1.7 million undiscovered viruses out there, and most of those are in wildlife. And most of them aren't a big deal, but, you know, a small percentage of 1.7 million is a pretty big number. So as we spend more time getting out into areas where we haven't been before, so urban expansion, ecotourism, hunting, trapping, and as we bring those animals into urban centers, so bringing an animal to a market in Wuhan, which is suspected to be in the source, we create the chance of something moving. And, you know, these may be random chances, but the more contacts we get, the more chance for that random thing to occur. And that's how outbreaks start.
Dr. Weiss, can you sit tight with us for a couple of minutes? I got to take a quick break, but I want to ask you about us here in Canada, just how safe we are and what's the likelihood of this thing becoming an epidemic here as well. But I've got to take a quick break, so if you can just sit tight. Dr. Scott Weiss on the line with us from the Center for Public Health, Ontario Veterinary College, Department of Pathology, University of Guelph. Wow, that's a long moniker as well. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away. Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than fishingcanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love fishingcanada.com. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journalist, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Michael Mooring, Derek Marandeo, Jessica Ellis, and myself will shepherd you through the outdoors for the remainder of this hour. On the line with us is Dr. Scott Weiss, Center for Public Health, Ontario Veterinary College, Department of Pathology, University of Guelph. He's got more initials and names after his name than you can shake a stick at. He's here for one reason, and that is we need to talk about this coronavirus. It seems that of the 1,200 species of bats that are worldwide, one of them, or maybe more, is responsible for this recent outbreak. And I was hoping we can get some more information on that. So, Doctor, we being outdoors people, people who fish and camp and hunt and whatever else we do in the outdoors, we're constantly surrounded by bats. Should we be worried all of a sudden because we find out the bats are carrying this coronavirus? Are you there, Scott?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you now. There you go.
We shouldn't worry about coronavirus here. We don't have any evidence it's in our bat population, but we should take the same types of precautions because our bats could be carrying lots of different viruses, and rabies is a big concern. So rabies is an issue for any type of bat contact in North America. So, you know, just being around a bat isn't the issue. It's when you get really close to a bat. So you handle a bat bites you, or you go in an area where there are a lot of bats. So you go into the cave where they're roosting. Normal walking around, bat flying around over top of you, we're not worried about that. We're worried about that close contact. So you get bitten or you handle their feces or that really intimate contact.
So no worry here. Do they know exactly, like I said, as I said before, there's approximately 1,200 species of bats worldwide. Do they know which one was at the root of this recent outbreak?
There's suspicion it's a Chinese horseshoe bat. And basically what they do is they're collections of viruses from various species, and they spend a lot of work looking at bats because of SARS. So they've got different viruses, and what they can do when there's a new virus pop up, you look at its genome, its genetic makeup, and you try to see what it's most closely related to. And when they look at this virus, it looks like the ancestor, at least compared to the viruses that they have on file, is a horseshoe bat. But that doesn't mean it's the only bat, and doesn't mean it's definitively the bat, but that's where I think the interest is right now.
Quite honestly, it's frightening. You know, it's one thing to know that the virus is out there, but it's a whole different ballgame when you know now that it is an animal that we're very familiar with that might have been the cause of its spread in the first place. So it gives it a totally different perspective than prior. But anyways, what can you tell us about the infection in Canada, or more precise, here in Ontario? What's our level of concern at this point?
Well, the concern, we're concerned, we're not paranoid, I think is the way. People should be aware of it. It's very highly confined to China. There are cases that are getting out, but countries are doing a fairly good job. We knew fairly early, so there was an ability to identify people coming back from the high-risk areas. So we do have a small number of cases in Ontario, and what we need to make sure, what public health needs to make sure, is that it doesn't escape out of those cases. So if someone's infected, but they can stay at home and they're isolated, or if they're in a hospital and they're isolated, you only shed this virus when you're infected for a short period of time. So we don't, when you're finished getting over your illness, you don't carry this virus for months or years. You're done with it, kind of like flu. So if we can keep the people that are infected from infecting someone else, then we can stop it. And if we can identify new infections that are coming in from abroad, then we can also stop it. The concern is how far it might spread over the next few weeks. If everyone can contain it in the countries it's going to, then, you know, we've got a fairly good chance it'll be beaten back, maybe into the wildlife. But if it can't be contained, then who knows how far it'll spread.
How many confirmed cases do we have right now, Doctor?
I think we're at 5 confirmed in Canada, as well as some Canadians that are in Japan that got infected on a cruise ship. But none of the infections in Canada are ones that aren't accounted for. So the thing you want to see in an outbreak like this is you're finding the infections, and everyone that has an infection, you have a good story why they have the infection, and it doesn't indicate a problem. So if someone just randomly walked into an ER and they had this virus and we didn't have any connection to an infected person or China, then we'd be really worried. But since we don't have that yet, it provides more confidence that the small number of cases we're seeing makes sense. And sometimes these things happen before you know what's going on, before you're able to implement things. So now that things are being, you know, addressed, hopefully we won't see more cases coming out of nowhere.
Now, at some point, are we going to start showing concern about people who are traveling abroad, you know, vacationing in areas that, you know, are hotbeds?
Yeah, that's every time we move, right, whether it's us going into the bush or us going into another country, when you go somewhere different, you have a risk of bringing something home. And, you know, influenza is a classic thing. More people die of influenza. That's a lot of infectious diseases, and you can certainly get that when traveling. It really comes down to, with this virus, what countries is it big in, and what countries is it spread uncontrolled? So if a country has 50 cases, but those are all foreign acquired cases, and they're all quarantined, then the risk of that country is pretty low. If you're in an area where there's still transmission in the community, so the general population spreading around, like would be the case still potentially in Wuhan, then that would be a concern. There's a lot of debate of whether there should be restrictions. So some countries have made fairly big restrictions on people that have been to China. And China's a big country, so there's debate whether it's very useful or not. But if this continues to spread and it gets into the general population, then I assume you'll see more discussion about how we reduce the number of cases that come into the country.
But as far as you're concerned, no issues for people who spend time in the outdoors here in this part of the world in terms of anything that might give us or connect us to the coronavirus?
Not with this virus, but I think it's a good reminder that, you know, every time you go outside, you're potentially encountering something. And we're not saying that to get people afraid to go outside. It's just, you know, it's a gentle reminder that we don't want to have contact with bats. We don't want to have extra contact with wildlife beyond what, you know, what you're doing for your purpose. Hand washing. There's a parasite that we've identified in wild canids, so coyotes and foxes in Ontario. It's a pretty nasty one for humans. So we're worried about hunters and trappers, and that's something that's, you know, often, you know, when you're doing this as a regular thing, you don't think about exposure to the animal and washing your hands and washing your items. So it's a good general reminder that, you know, every time we go somewhere different or go outside, there's some degree of risk. Like, we have to live with the risk, but we can also probably reduce it a bit.
And, of course, the best protection is information, right? Keep yourself totally informed at all times and be safe when you're out there. Doctor Weiss, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Dr. Scott Weiss from the Center for Public Health, Ontario Veterinary College, Department of Pathology, University of Guelph. I love stuff like that on my card. Hey, can we do that? Like, just add a whole bunch of like,
sure.
This is cool.
Why not? I'm sure you can come up with something.
I think it'd look great. Angelo Viola. I like the doctor in front of it, too, if I could.
Well, finally, you know, people would take you seriously.
For a change.